This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15, coming up at 1:30, between 1:30 and 2. Dave Wyman will be here. We'll talk Seahawks football and the always popular Name That Artist. So we have that coming up at the bottom of the hour here. We got a lot of news to get to here. Did you hear that? Oh, this is such an awful story. Down on the Oregon coast, did you mention this one in your newscast yesterday?
Yesterday, yes.
Just heartbroken. Yeah, a family from China that just moved to the United States in July. They were down on the Oregon coast, 49 and 41-year-old parents and their 10-year-old daughter. They went down a trail on the Oregon coast when suddenly a wave washed over them. The mom and dad were swept into the ocean. The 10-year-old daughter watched on in horror, and they were able to recover the parents' bodies, but they were pronounced. The 10-year-old girl watched mom and dad get washed away down on the Oregon coast.
This is a beautiful, this is one of those, again, the fragility of life.
Oh, you're doing
it's a random.
You're doing about the most gorgeous, you know, thing you can do, communing with nature on the ocean.
Yeah. Just moved here.
I was just vividly, as I was reading the story last night, my wife and I, when we first started dating, we'd been going out for about a month or two, and she decided it was time for me to meet the parents down in Vancouver, Washington. So we drive down. We're going to spend the night there, me in the, you know, her brother's bedroom, of course. And so we're down in Vancouver. We decide to go out to the Oregon coast for the evening. And there, I think they had a sandcastle building contest in Seaside. And then we found this little strip of beach. And we went down and we put out a blanket and we built a fire and we had a cooler. And you know what, young people, we're 21 years old, young people in love. You start doing a little of the kissy-kissy, you know? And it's dark. Now it's dark. It's pitch black. And all of a sudden, we hear this just super loud, crackly sound. The water, the tide had come up, and it hit our little beach fire. And we realized the path up the cliff was on the other side of this rock jetty, this cliff jetty. And we were trapped on this little sliver of beach, and we had no idea if the tide was going to keep coming in.
Oh, no.
There was no way on the cliff. The only trail was on the other side of this area that jutted way out, that was now way out in the ocean. So we have to walk in, and it's like midnight.
Oh, no.
Chest deep water, holding a cooler above our head. And I later found, and there were a couple of times where there was a strong
pull. One else around.
No, totally empty.
Oh, man.
And there were a couple of times where there was a strong pull in the chest-deep water of the waves when it came in and then would recede. And we are so lucky we survived that because I later found out how incredibly dangerous is in tidal conditions like that to have to try to walk through water that deep. And I thought about that. I flashed back to that when I heard about this poor family down there. So that was that story. That's a depressing one. Okay, but locally, the Tacoma teacher strike is in the news. And I saw a story on Q13 about a longtime Tacoma teacher who is going to quit now because of all the acrimony over this strike. So Ann Hawkins is the teacher. And she says it's an amazing job.
I do it because it's the best job in the world. Like, if people really knew what kind of connections and amazing moments happen in a classroom, there'd be a line of people out here to break this strike, honestly.
And the reporter for Q13 said that a lot of people think she's one of the best teachers in the district. But she says she is done with teaching because of this strike.
All my gut was telling me was it's time to go.
And she says that she doesn't like the way the district's treating them.
This particular strike, it just says to me everything that the district thinks about the teacher.
And she thought she'd teach forever.
I thought I was a lifer. I thought I would be at Jason Lee until they dragged my scarred carcass out of the building.
Okay. Scarred carcass. You get 16 weeks off, so your scarred carcass can heal. But then there was this line. This one just annoyed me.
I'm one of those teachers that's making $80,000+ a year. I never said I was poor. I shouldn't have to plead poverty to get the wage that was handed down by the state Supreme Court.
Why can't you tell the truth then? Because, you see, there is a teacher salary database that is easily accessible. And I looked up Tacoma School District Ann Hawkins and found her salary. Now, again, here's what she told Q13.
I'm one of those teachers that's making $80,000+ a year. I never said I was poor.
Okay. I'm making $80,000+ a year. Ann Hawkins, in 2016 and 17, the last year in this database, most recent year in the database, made $95,326. So, and yes, should all report, because I've seen this in so many news sites where teachers say they are making dramatically less than what they're actually making. And for some reason, we have a bunch of media outlets that just take their word on it. It took me literally about 20 seconds to find her salary. And teachers, if you want to make your case, just be honest. She thought that $80,000 sounded more palatable, I guess, than $95,000. But it's a lie. She's not making $80-something thousand. And this is just salary. Forget about benefit. I'm talking just salary. She's making $95,326 a year. Now, if you still think that's underpaid, with 16 weeks off, and you want to quit, then fine, quit. If the public thinks that's underpaid with 16 weeks off, fine. Support giving them more money. But let's have honest conversations about this.
Wait, I'm just looking at the same Ann, I think, is it Ann K. Hawkins?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at school year 2017-2018. It says base salary, $64,000, other salary, $24,000. Total final salary, $88,000.
Well, what database are you on?
Looks like the... Sorry.
That's good.
I'm scrolling around. Okay,
tell you what,
looks like, yeah.
We'll resolve it in the big league, because I got the number off the database that I have at $95,326.
Tacoma School District database.
Okay, and I've used the Washington Teacher Salary database.
Okay.
So, but again... just let's be honest and let's make sure that we're using the correct numbers when we're making our case for these, you know, teachers. And again, if you think that 95,000 or 88,000 or the number Ursula found with 16 weeks off, if that's underpaid, then that's what you can believe. I think it's not bad. I don't think that's a horrible salary. Next up in the Fastest 15. Oh, they got the final ratings in for Sunday night's Miss America pageant. And they were not just down, not just bad, they were disastrous. Down 36% in the key demographic. And you know why. Everybody knows why.
Well, they dropped the swimsuit.
They got rid of the swimsuit competition. I had a girlfriend.
The ratings were going down anyway,
right,
for all those pageants.
I had a girlfriend before my current wife. My only wife. But she liked watching the Miss America pageant and making little catty comments about the contestants. Women liked watching the swimsuit competition because they either liked admiring the bodies or making little catty comments. The guys like watching because they were beautiful women in bikinis. No, here's what nobody wants. Here's what absolutely nobody wants. They don't want to turn on the Miss America pageant and hear this.
The biggest issue facing our country today. Unfortunately, he has caused a lot of divide in our country, and until we can trust in him and the choices that he makes for our country, we cannot come united. Thank you.
Nobody wants to hear comments about Trump. Nobody wants to hear comments like this.
From the state with 84% of the U.S. fresh water, but none for-
Nobody wants to hear about water quality in Flint, Michigan, when they turn on the Miss America pageant.
Actually, I'm going to disagree.
They want to see babes in bikinis. If I want to listen to a bunch of people spouting off about Trump and water quality in Flint, I'll turn on MSNBC.
You want the whole package. You want them to be bright.
Baloney.
You want them to look good.
Baloney. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants. The ratings prove it.
I know. I'm just saying.
Nobody wants that, Ursula.
If I were to watch, I did not watch, but if I were to watch, I would want them, you know, to show their intelligence and their beauty.
You know, you want to watch like the good old days. You want to watch them walk around in a bikini, walk around in an evening gown, and then twirl a baton for a few seconds. That's all you want from them. I don't want to hear about water quality in Flint, Michigan. Ratings are on my side on this one. Oh, geez. And then there's this story, too. So this is the other one you and I went back and forth on all day yesterday.
Oh, boy.
So I'm so sick and tired of the Serena Williams thing from the U.S. Open because everybody's still pushing that this was sexist and or racist, that Serena got a point. First, she got a warning for verbally abusing the chair up. Then she got a point taken away because she smashed a racket on the court. And then she started verbally abusing the chair umpire again.
There's some confusion now.
She shouldn't be serving.
There's some confusion. Osaka was serving at 4-3. Ramos just said game penalty.
Correct.
Okay, so then...
But I'm not a cheater. But why would you...
Oh, yeah, and the cheater part is her coach was flashing her hand signals, which is absolutely forbidden. The coach admits he was doing that, which is what one of the earlier penalties was for. So she's demanding an apology.
Osaka was ready to serve at 4-3. Deed to that.
Correct.
And now Brian Early in his 39th year of working with the U.S. Open. His last year as a referee.
So she's screaming, that's not right. You're doing this to me because I'm a woman. And it went on and on and on. And... as you know, I've been very actively involved in women's sports for pretty much my entire adult life. And so then Christine Brennan is a columnist for USA Today, and she goes on CNN yesterday, and she's talking about how this was all sexism.
And so there are a lot of reasons why someone might target Serena or look at her differently. Clearly, she's an African-American woman. But we are seeing, as you've alluded to, over and over again now in the last, 36 hours since this happened, men in tennis, women in tennis, the greatest names in the sport, all of them coming down on the side of Serena being correct about a double standard. Every single one. And I think that's a significant part of the conversation.
Right.
It's an absolute lie, too. Martina Navratilova, who is she'd be in the conversation. Serena's the greatest women's player ever. Martina's probably the second greatest. And Martina Navratilova, all day yesterday, was saying that Serena was wrong. She deserved all of the penalties. Mary Carrillo, the great tennis commentator, she said that Serena was acting like a bully.
Yeah, and I didn't know that we were going to talk about this yesterday, and I wasn't completely prepared. But what Martina said is exactly how I feel, which is Serena had part of it right. Basically, she says there is a huge double standard for women when it comes to how bad behavior is punished, not just in tennis, but in her protests against an umpire during the Open final. She also got part of it wrong. She says, I don't believe it's a good idea to apply a standard of if men can get away with it, women should be able to as well. And she says, what is the right way to behave in honor of our sport? That's what I believe.
But I don't know that. I mean, I told you yesterday, I watched a 12-minute YouTube called Worst Tennis Tantrums. And it was 12 minutes of men getting punished for verbally abusing officials. And she kept calling the official a thief
bad. That was bad behavior.
It was and it was all clear rule violations. Every single thing she got punished for. You know who I loved? I heard. Do you know who Mad Dog Russo is?
No.
He's a sports talk host in New York who's on Sirius XM now.
These comments, you're never going to ref one of my matches again. Who the hell are you? The U.S. Open was around long before you ever showed up, and it's going to be around long after you leave. You're sitting on a changeover, and that's what you say to the guy? You're never going to ref? Who the hell are you? That drove me crazy.
He's a big, huge tennis fan, this guy.
She says, well, I'm a mother, so I don't cheat. I'm a mother. Who cares? I don't care what you are. I'm not interested. This is a tennis match. This is a sporting event. I'm not interested. You're a mother. So is Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley. She won Wimbledon after she gave birth. So is Kim Clijsters. She won the U.S. Open after she gave birth.
He just went off on this.
And then she brings up the men issue. Well, if I was a man, this wouldn't... Nonsense! A man. Have you said... Come on. Fagini, the Italian, got thrown out of the Italian Open this year because of ridiculous behavior. Nadal's gotten code violations, lost points at the French Open. Djokovic, too. Eddie Murray, too. By this umpire.
I have to start amping up my game
seriously,
here.
Does he talk like that for like several hours straight?
That's why he's the mad dog. No, the whole show's not like that. But he was furious. And who can blame the man for crying out loud?
Yes,
Ursula and I had competing stats on that teacher salary.
So your numbers were for 2016 to 2017, so last year's school year.
Mm-hmm.
And her base salary was $62,795, and other salary was $33,842. That's how your number.
That's the $95,000 that I have.
Right. Yeah. But for 2017 to 2018, her base was $64,000, and her other salary went down to $24,000. So she must have not, she's not doing as much, or she didn't pick up some extra.
She's over $80,000 at this point.
88, or, well, 95 a year ago, 88 this most recent year then. Okay. All right. That's a good clarification. I gotta get going here. Dave Wyman's going to pop in. We don't want to shortchange him by even a second. So that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes. We'll give you the world. Dave Wyman, get the lowdown on the Seahawks and everything else that's important. Next. Bruce Hornsby! Dang it!
Wow, but that was like a split. You both sort of got it.
Bruce Hornsby. I'm the first one who said the full name right there.
I thought if I said the name that it would lead me to Hornsby, and
yeah,
it led you.
You shouldn't have given it to me, though.
I know.
Yeah, that was a mistake. So Dave Wyman's here. He came in, and he's on his computer. And he's just typing away, and I'm thinking, oh, he's looking up some stats, some Seahawks stats maybe that he can, some wisdom he can drop on us. Mm-hmm. And he goes, man, these dahlias put mine to shame. Because he brought me a beer bottle with three beautiful large dahlias in them.
These things are growing like crazy in my yard.
Yeah, I've seen.
My wife calls me Ferdinand. The Bull. Ferdinand the Bull would rather sniff flowers.
Oh, he would sniff flowers. Yeah. That's right. I remember him.
But,
this is the product of your hard work in the garden?
Dave
exactly
grew
right.
these, and he yes. brought me three
really
beautiful dahlias.
For your wife, much more than you. That's what I was thinking of when I thought of bringing it to you.
What?
I just didn't want it to be too creepy. Coming in here with a beer bottle with a couple of flowers.
Three?
What's a guy supposed to think?
If you're on the webcam... You can see them. Can you see them right now? I mean, it's a gigantic yellow dahlia and then two beautiful kind of pinkish ones.
Yeah, I have some bigger ones, and I think they're called dinner plate dahlias. They're huge. You know, I put these bulbs in a plastic bag with a wet paper towel in my garage during the winter, and then I replanted them, and boom, and I put them on steroids.
You're what we call a renaissance man.
You
I
think?
Love that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love the doing that. It's
I know
really
you
cool.
do. Yeah, I know. It's really sweet.
Dave
really...
brought me and my roommate to dahlias last week.
Yeah.
I think, or a couple weeks ago, in a wine bottle, and they lasted for at least a week.
Good. There wasn't any bugs in there, was there?
No.
Sometimes you'll bring them in, and there's like a hornet in there or an earwig.
You make guys like me look bad, though.
He texted Jess and said, hey, do you think you and Nicole would like some dahlias for your living room? I was like, flowers? Yes, we would like flowers.
Yeah, I just thought flowers. It would be weird if I brought them in here. But yeah, so there you go.
Thank you very much.
These things are coming out of our ears. Like I have like 15 of them on my front where my sink is. Mm-hmm. And we don't have any more room because they're growing like crazy.
Well, thank you for the dahlias, Dave.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that.
You ever think you'd say that to me?
Never did. When we first met, did I ever expect? When we first met, you had that busted up hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were thinking, well, this guy's a psycho.
And you were being all surly with me. I was trying to make small talk with you. We'd never met before.
That's ridiculous.
What?
Surly with you.
You were being all surly with me.
In what way?
I asked you because you were in a cast, and I said, how'd you break your hand? And you told me you were moving a piece of marble, and I didn't believe you. And you got surly with me.
No, I did not. That is such a fabrication, that whole thing. And you weren't one of the guys that knew I punched something. There was two guys.
I did not know that. I could tell you were lying.
Is that right?
Yeah, honest to goodness.
All right.
Yeah. And you didn't like that I Dory's was questioning
the,
it.
Dory's the lie detector, apparently. But I did punch something, and I was so ashamed of it. I'm like, okay, it's time to grow
up
now.
What did you punch?
It was a box that I thought was empty, and something happened in our neighborhood that I was really mad at. It had to do with one of my kids. And you know how this is with your kids. Like, you get forced into these situations with neighbors and things like that. And something happened that made my son feel really bad, and I was mad. And so I walked in. I thought there was an empty box, and I punched it, and it was full of, like, a huge metal thing. And I was like, I just broke my hand.
Oh, man.
Stupid.
That's just awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. It was. Cost me a couple $1,000, couple surgeries. Yeah, all that good stuff.
How about the Seahawks?
Hey, how about them? You know what? We just talked to Bradley McDougal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's ever had a better game than that. Two interceptions. He had a chance for three. He made a bunch of big hits. There were so many things to like in that. And the further away I get from that game, the more excited I am about it because you had significant playing time from rookies.
Right.
Jacob Martin was out there quite a bit. I think a lot of people didn't see him, but you saw Shaquem Griffin out there. You saw, how about Will Dissly? Uncle Will.
Yeah.
With 105 yards receiving and a touchdown and an awesome run. And so you had a lot of young guys, and you had a chance to win that game.
Right. In the toughest home field advantage maybe in football history, the Denver Broncos in the first 2 weeks of the season at home is the strongest home field advantage of any team in NFL history.
Supposedly they schedule that way because of the weather, because they say later on the home games are going to be – snow games are awesome.
That's what I told you on the pregame show. You asked why the Broncos always have home openers, and I said it's because...
Oh, that came from you?
That was me who told
me
that.
I actually heard that. It was from you.
All right. Well, I knew I heard it somewhere.
But I agree with you that I love like games in Denver and Buffalo and Cleveland in December.
Yeah.
Because football in the snow is, I don't know about the playing side of things, but as a viewer,
it's awesome.
Just nothing more fun to watch.
It's the thing about the NFL. You get the hot games in the beginning, then you get the crisp games of fall, and then you get weather later in the season. And so, yeah, I don't know. But you're right. I mean, the home field advantage, they're now 8-1 in home openers, and I think they've had consecutive.
They're 18-1, their last 19 home openers.
But they've had, I think, 8-1 this is the last nine years they've had home openers. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, either way. I mean, it's a tough place to play.
Hey, what is
you
the,
had a chance.
You just
win.
Referenced, and I don't know if I'm just missing something. You talked about this. Rabel's call on that Will Dissly was, where is it? There we go. Here it is.
Russell, play fake, dumps it across the middle. It's Wentz Dissly again, across midfield 40. He's still moving 35. He's breaking tackles 40. 15, 10, 5. Did he get there? No, he stepped out of bounds at the 5-yard line. Uncle Will, for heaven's sakes, 66 yards. Oh, my word. Down to the 5-yard line. Will Dissly for president. That ends the first quarter with the score set.
What is the Uncle Will? I don't get the reference.
Well, that's what they call him.
But why?
He looks like he's 45 years old. That's what Schneider called him. And so, yeah, that's...
Just because he's a 22-year-old kid who looks much older than that?
He looks... wisdom. He has wisdom. But, yeah, he's just an awesome kid. Jim was giving him a hard time and made him sing the Husky fight song on the air. He sang the whole thing. Yeah, sure. No problem. Yeah, it was awesome.
I would not be able to, even though I
went
to the
U. Lots of people
UW.
Aren't. But, yeah, he was able to sing that. He's just a confident kid, really sharp, and a great player, apparently, and maybe the most underrated hands coming out of the draft because he was supposed to be a blocker.
Yeah. And then the play right before that where Chris Carson hurdled the guy, that was pretty athletic.
That was my only complaint was I wanted more Chris Carson. There was a lot of Rashad Penny, and Rashad Penny's going to be great. But, you know, he played quite a bit. He had 25 snaps. Carson had 25 snaps. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from Chris Carson, but shoot, look, like I said, you had a chance to win that. Brian Adams.
Doggone it.
Nice job.
That was good. Why didn't you just go, Brian?
No, I'm not doing that ever again, pal.
Okay. We are tied at one. Dave Wyman and I are. We got a lot more to talk about as... Our Tuesday conversation with Dave continues here on the Dory Monson Show. Gonna take a freight train. Prince Clearwater Revival. Revival.
Absolutely wrong.
Doggone it. I don't care.
Greg Allman?
Oh. Allman
no.
Brothers.
No. No.
Steal another one from you.
Man.
Nobody gonna know. Can't you see?
Can't you see? Can't you see?
Ah, the listeners are going crazy.
I have no idea.
I bet the text is going nuts. We haven't gotten it. Who is it?
Marshall Tucker Band.
Of course it's Marshall Tucker. So that means the next one will decide it. The song that closes out the hour will break the 1-1 tie between me and Dave Wyman. So have we done all we need to do with the Seahawks?
Or, it's up to you.
Well, they got the Bears on Monday Night Football. By the way, just you personally, how do you love like doing the color?
I love it. It's like a dream job for me to do that. And it's just so much fun. It's, you know, it's cool being able to travel with the team and, you know, you feel like you're kind of on the inside and it's just it's a great time. And Rabel does such a good job. You know, I feel like he could do the whole thing by himself up there. But, yeah, he's so much fun. And I like that call you had earlier. Some guys don't have the excited voice. Right. You know, like, remember, Dave Niehaus was the best. Like, the throw by Ichiro, how he ramps that up, and he got, you know, that was, that's how Rabel is. And he had the, what do you have there, an Oh My Word? I think there was a Holy Catfish in there. Right. There was a, it's just, it's awesome. He does a great job.
And the thing about Rabel that I admire so much is, first of all, how he built his career. And I've told him this. He was, when he was a player back in the, late 70s, I think. I was at this bogus broadcasting school, and we went to watch a taping of Seattle Today. It was a live show that King 5 did from 9 to 10 a.m., and the guest host that day was Steve Rabel, 24-year-old Seahawk wide receiver.
No kidding.
Yeah, because he knew he wanted to get into the biz. Then he becomes a TV sports guy. Then he becomes the news guy. He's the color guy. Mm-hmm. Then he becomes the play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
And I just... I admire that so much. And when you've played the game, you just have a depth of knowledge as a play-by-play guy. I mean, every color guy like you has played the game, but very few play-by-play guys have. And that's just a depth of knowledge that he brings.
Yeah. The guy in Denver, the play-by-play guy
Logan.
Dave Logan was a player. Yeah. But there's not very many guys who have done it. But yeah, Rabel, I think he also had a decision to make whether to go to camp or go into TV, and he chose to go into TV because he kind of read the writing on the wall that he didn't think he was going to make, wasn't going to make the team. So he has a whole story about that. But people don't realize, like, number one, he was a good player, really fast.
Yeah.
Really fast. And so he was out of Georgia Tech. He was a second-round draft choice.
You were really fast.
high school.
Weren't you the Nevada state sprint champion?
Not state. Northern Nevada.
Okay. All the quick kids are in the southern part of the state.
Northern Nevada sprint champion.
Okay. So we've got Monday Night Football, and the Chicago Bears are... I mean, that was... I don't know if you had a chance to watch, because you were probably flying.
Yeah,
that game against the Packers.
Before we took off, you thought, and Khalil Mack, and that's the thing that's disturbing, is you come off of, I guess Von Miller's a pretty good player, Dory.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I saw.
Four quarterback hits, three sacks, and so same thing with Khalil Mack. I think he filled every stat, including a touchdown, interception for a touchdown. So you're going to face that again. You know, with the Seahawks, if you'd have told me before that they're going to get six sacks, the Denver Bronco defense, I would have thought that is going to be a disaster.
Right.
And it really wasn't. Yeah. It didn't look that bad, although I really worry about Russell. He took some shots.
Yeah, he really did. The Aaron Rodgers thing, he gets carted off the field.
Maybe a little dramatic?
I don't know, but if it's not, he's just the toughest guy, and I don't know which it is.
He's a wuss.
You think he's just a drama guy?
Look, if you have to, there was one time I got carted off, and that was because I dislocated my knee, and there was no pulse in my lower leg.
Right.
Every other time, like I remember my knee got blown out one of my last year, and I told the trainer, I'm like, get me off the bleeping field. And so I, you know, limped off, and I put my arms around their shoulders to get off, but... I can't stand that. There's no way, if you can come back and play in a game, there's no way it was necessary for you to be on the meat wagon on the way out. There's no way.
But it sure adds to the heroic tale of Aaron Rodgers.
Him and Ben Roethlisberger, those quarterbacks, are so dramatic.
they like burnishing their own image.
Right.
Okay, we're tied at one, Dave.
Whatever burnishing means.
Yeah. You're a Stanford guy. Neil Young.
Ah, all right, Tori.
All right. Was that the tiebreaker?
That was the tiebreaker.
All right. Congratulations.
2-1 Monson.
And I brought you flowers.
Thanks for the dahlias. I really appreciate it. Dave Wyman, you can hear him on the Seahawk broadcast in every afternoon from 3 to 7. Got Mariners this week?
They got a game tomorrow.
Mariners
so
are done, right?
No, they have more games left, Corey. The season is not ended yet.
A miracle can still happen. That's what you're telling me.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So you can hear Dave when the Mariners aren't on every afternoon, 3 to 7. Danny, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle. All right, big lead at 2. We'll get you caught up in all the major news that's happening today. That is coming up next. Rolling home to you. This is the Dory Monson Show. Rolls on.